So we're getting ready to send our kids back to school. School starts tomorrow, and for those that work in the schools, many of those folks went back to school last week, getting prepared. And back to school brings all kinds of different things, right? So some people are excited, some students are excited to go back to school. I remember there's been times where Cassandra has cried that school was over because she really likes school. But then by the time summer comes, she'll cry because summer's over. So it's a, you know, mixed bag. But so some are excited, some are nervous. Some kids are ready to go back to school to see their friends and see their favorite teachers. Others wish, like Richard, that summer would last 6 more weeks, much in like a Punxsutawney Phil sort of a way of, you know, we saw the sun, and so 6 more weeks of summer. Some parents are thinking, how did we get to back to school already? While others are thinking, you know, thank you, Jesus, that school time is here. I'm ready to go for my kids to go back to school. I won't tell you which one I am. But the new school year brings a lot of things for every student, almost every student. It brings a new teacher, a new classroom, perhaps a new school if we're going from elementary to middle or middle to high school, or perhaps like in, for many students in our area, you know, we didn't build Welland Park School, but the community built Welland Park High School. And so for a lot of students who were going to Venice High, now they're going to a new school. Each one of those things brings new opportunities, new challenges, new friends, right? But it can also bring a lot of uncertainty. And that's the reality for many, many kids and families going back to school, is that even though we know where they're going to be, we know their teacher, maybe we did back to school, or we sent our kids to you know, Cassandra's going in middle school this year, which makes me proud and sad and want to throw up like all at the same time. It's really, really interesting. But like we sent her for a half a day to the school so she could get used to the school and walking around and walk a schedule and things like that, right? So even as we do all these things to try to prep and prepare and school supplies and all that stuff, there's still elements of uncertainty. And we're going to close our service today with a prayer over our students, over our families, over folks that are working in the school system, grandparents, whoever. If you're tied to someone going back to school, we want to have a concentrated time of prayer. But there's something that's common, right? There's a common denominator for every student going back to school, and it's a backpack, right? And a backpack is usually something pretty simple. It's a sack that carries stuff, right? You put things in it. You carry things from place to place. It's a way for you to keep your stuff together. Notice I didn't say organized, because backpacks are usually the most unorganized thing in the world. It looks like a small bomb went off in everybody's backpack, right? And so whether you have kids or not, I always dread the you know, going in the backpack, you know, at, like right before Christmas break or even in the summer. And we've had some doozies, right? Sometimes you might find books. Sometimes you might find leftover snacks. You're probably going to find like 9 pencils, none of which work, right? You're going to find an eraser with a piece bitten out of it. And you're going to wonder, did my kid eat it? Did they break it off? Like, there's all these things. And there's been 3 different instances in which I've gone into my kids' backpacks and found terrible surprises. One time in Richard's backpack, 2 different times for Richard, but I found an apple, and I have no idea. I didn't recognize that we even had that kind of an apple in our house. So one, how did he get the apple? And it was there for so long that it had been dried and was basically like a full-sized apple potato chip. And I was a little embarrassed, like, how did I forget or not see this in his backpack? And I was just grateful that it didn't smell. But we had a very smelly backpack incident with Richard one time, too, because he wanted to collect chocolate milks one year. So he collected one in his backpack. And again, I didn't see it in there. I'm not sure for how long. But it eventually exploded inside the classroom, which then got rancid chocolate milk all over the cubbies and other backpacks, so bad that when we went to an open house, we smelled the smell in the thing and then realized after the fact, oh, our son did that, right? And then there was a time where Eve, who loves to bring home food that she doesn't actually want to eat, brought home some fruits and vegetables and things. Even though we say, don't put it in her backpack, she finds a way to collect multiples of things at times. And she brought home some fruits and vegetables that over a Christmas break started its own science experiment inside of her backpack, right? So even though backpacks are designed to do the right thing, sometimes, you know, they're messy and there's always something sticky or gritty inside of it. It's just, they're gross at times, right? But aside from all of that, I want us to think about what a backpack's designed to do, right? Every one of our students is gonna have some sort of backpack or bag or thing to carry their stuff. But beyond the school supplies, beyond the snacks, beyond the things that they need for school, they're carrying other things too. They're carrying the expectations maybe that their family or the school has for them as far as grades and things are concerned. They're carrying friendships. They're carrying questions, fears, anxieties, pressures, maybe the dreams that they have. Maybe they're carrying the excitement of a new chapter, a new grade, a new opportunity. Maybe some students are carrying disappointments or anxiety because things didn't go super well last year. And some students might be carrying struggles that others just don't simply understand or know about. And it brings us to our scripture today, an unconventional scripture, I think, for what we're doing. So bear with me a little bit as we kind of unpack it and work through it together. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And could we just pause for just a moment in prayer? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And God, no matter where we find ourselves in the feelings related to going back to school, I know many families are thinking of all the things we've got to do after this to get our students ready. But God, help us to sit and hear from you this morning. Even for the few minutes we have remaining, God, help us to feel your presence today. Because God, in uncertainty, God, it's you who calms the storm. And so, God, help us find that peace and comfort in you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I know this verse we recognize, right? It's on cards, it's on shirts, it's we use it in all these different places. You know, when folks graduate, you know, we use this or whatever to kind of say like, hey, God has a plan for you. And that's comforting and that's helpful, but I think it's also important to understand the context in which this verse is being delivered to the people of God, right? So, you know, the people of God were supposed to go to the promised land, right? And they didn't do things the way that God wanted them to do. Again, this is like a very condensed version of it, but they didn't do what they were supposed to, and so they found themselves in exile. Right? And so in exile, we talked about that with our kids in Sunday school this morning, talked a little bit about what would you feel, right? What feelings and things would you have if you were in exile, right? If you were in this undetermined period of wandering where God's people found them. And they gave back some things. They said they'd feel rejected, unwanted, lonely, scared. Some of them said they'd even be bored, right? Because there wouldn't be things to do, right? That you just have to like walk around and like that would be terrible. Right? So it's in this place of feeling rejected, of being not cast aside, but being, you know, shifted in this different direction, right? Into this wandering, into this exile away from the promise and purpose that God had for them. And they didn't always know what the circumstances, the future was going to be like, but they knew that they were going to have to live through this difficult season. And in the midst of that, God shows up, right? And says to them, in the midst of being rejected, in the midst of loneliness, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of all of these unknowns, I have a plan for you. You may not know what tomorrow brings, but I know that I will provide for you. You may not understand the reasons and all of the things behind this season, but despite those things, I haven't forgotten you. You may not see the whole picture, but I'm still at work. I still have something to say. And despite the things that happened that got us to the point of where we're at, there is still hope in a future. there are still plans to make us prosperous. And I think it's a powerful message that we can deliver to families today as they get ready to go back to school, right? Parents don't know what the school year is gonna hold, right? And if school has not been an easy thing for your student, right? It's you dread your student going back to school. You may not know what's gonna happen, who their teacher's gonna be, who their best friend will be, right? What type of influence a teacher will have. I think in today's world, we don't always assume that a teacher has a positive influence, right? There are teachers, and it happens all the time, that take advantage of students. We don't know the challenges that our students will face, peer pressures and other things. But what we do know is that God knows them. And what we do know is that God has a purpose for them. And I think, church, it's important for us to understand that part of that plan and purpose is us. Part of the plan and purpose for our students and for our families is the church. It's not just enough that we come and sit and preach this message and say, like, we support you, but I want to go beyond that this morning with you and talk about how we can fill our kids' backpacks and be a part of the purpose that God has for them. It's something that we have to be active in. It's a role that we're going to play. And so if the backpacks represent the thing that our students are going to carry, then let's give them some supplies this morning. Not the pencils, not the calculators, not the notebooks, not all those things, right? But let's talk about some things that we can do. Just as God provided for his people during exile, right? God can provide and has a plan for our students that we can be a part of. And so there's three things that I want to talk about this morning, right? Yeah, you know, every time someone preaches, there's always three things, right? But the first of the three things I want to talk about is prayer. The first school supply, the first supply we can put in our students' backpack is prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 says to pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always. Paul says in Romans 12:12, it says to be constant in prayer. And prayer is something that everybody in this room can do. You don't have to be the teacher. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be the one that works directly with children. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be seasoned in your spiritual journey. You don't have to have all the money, all the answers, anything. All you have to do is come and recognize that God is with you. And then you can pray. And I think we sometimes underestimate or oversimplify prayer. You see, prayer is not just something we just say, hey, I'm praying for you as a flippant response to, you know, someone's challenges or circumstances, right? I think it can become the default. Sometimes when heavy things are happening for people, we don't know how to emotionally show up in those areas. And so we dismissively, with the best of intentions, say, I'm praying for you. And we mean it. And we may offer a quick prayer. But I think true prayer goes beyond the quick response. See, prayer is one of the most powerful things we have to offer, because prayer means when we pray, we're fully surrendering, saying, I am incapable of accomplishing this thing apart from the power and might of God. It becomes us, the person who's praying, saying, I am fully reliant on God to help this other person. We're letting go and allowing God to work. And so when we think about how do we pray, we don't want to pray today. We're going to pray today, but we don't want to just pray today. We want to pray often and daily for our kids. And not just say, Lord, help them be fine at school. Let's pray for their safety. Let's pray for their teachers. Let's pray for positive influences, for wisdom, for courage, for help in making tough, difficult decisions. Let's pray for their faith, because they are going to be tested, because we live in a broken world and they will be tested for things. Let's pray that our students would know that they are loved, not just by their family, but by their church family. Let's pray that when they encounter something difficult, they turn to their families and parents and those that they can trust to help them through it. And let's pray for our parents too, because it's not just the student that carries the backpack, but it's the parents. Sometimes the heaviest burden is on the mom or the dad or the grandparents or the grandmas and grandpas. trying to figure out how to make the schedule work, trying to figure out how to get people where they're supposed to be, how are we gonna do pickups, wondering if their kids are gonna be okay at school. It's those responsibilities, the financial pressure, the concerns about putting our kids in the right position to get the right education for their future. How do we support and help our students without, you know, making them feel a certain way, right? Or broadcasting some of the challenges and things that they have. How do we do that in a way that's encouraging and uplifting and supportive? And church prayer in this circumstance goes beyond just saying, like, have a great year at school. It's a continuous place to put ourselves. And so as we gear up to send our students back to school, let's pray. Let's pray for them in all of these different areas. As we come and gather later, there's gonna be a bunch of different students up here of different ages, and so you can pray for them. We'll put together a list of students that you can pick up next week. I'll work on that so that you can have names of students and grades to pray for. But let's set our kids up for success by starting in the best way possible, and let's pray for them. The second school supply that we want to talk about is encouragement. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. I'm a big Lego fan, so I love the language of building, right? So we want to build each other up. We want to build our students and our parents up. And when you sit and you build a Lego, depending on how long it takes you, my grandmother used to get really upset at me because she would buy me a Lego and I would build it in like 20 minutes. And she'd say, all that money I spent for you to have do it in 20 minutes, right? But when you sit and build a Lego or any other project, right, that you it's hard to see the picture of what it's going to be as you start. Right? I've built Legos and I go, why on earth is there this color piece? Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? But all those random things are usually hidden, and by the time it's done, you see this clear picture. And encouragement is much the same. If you only encourage once or twice, right, they're gonna have a few building blocks, but it's not gonna help them maybe see the clear full picture. So we need to be adults that show up and encourage. Not just about grades, not just about when behavior is going well, not just about a student's athletic ability, but we need adults who see more than a kid and their mistakes. We need adults to see the possibilities and to see what our kids are capable of. We need adults who will tell students that we are proud of you, we believe in you, keep going. And some of us don't have kids at home anymore. Some of us, our kids are grown and have their own kids, and those kids have their own kids, right? But there's kids here in this space. And I don't just say that selfishly because those kids are my kids, or those kids are tied to my family, or those kids are tied here to other families that are here. I say that because it's a part of who we are. We need to be encouraged. It's what strengthens us. And so whether you're a biological family member to a student, this congregation is filled with families and with kids. And encouragement isn't a Bible study. Encouragement isn't a lesson. Encouragement is showing up. Encouragement is a text message. Encouragement can be remembering that it's their birthday or saying something or sending them a message or giving them a card or dropping it in the mailbox for their birthday. Encouragement is remembering when a student says, oh, I have a big game or I have a test or I have this thing coming up, and then asking about it the next week, how did it go? I've been praying for you all week. Encouragement is helping that student and family to be seen, to say, I'm listening to you. You matter to me. And it can become one of the greatest gifts that we can give to our families. And when we think about encouragement, encouragement is not something that you wait for an invitation for. You don't wait to see someone in need or someone to identify the need that they have. Encouragement should be offered freely in the same way that God and Christ provide encouragement to us through scripture and through the body of Christ and things like that. It should be available. We shouldn't wait until a family is discouraged to encourage them. We should encourage them proactively so that when they face difficulty and challenges, they have money in the bank or currency in the form of encouragement to help them through. So we want to pray for our students. We want to encourage our students. We want to pray for them by name, pray for them in circumstances, pray for them with meaning and purpose. And we want to encourage and lift up and motivate and support them. The third thing we want to give is presence. And I think presence is one of the most important things to give students. It's not just that we're praying, it's not just that we're giving encouragement, but we're also being a physical presence for them. It's not just showing up on social media, but it's showing up in person when those opportunities are available. Because God doesn't just phone it in, God doesn't just do the quick like and the quick heart, but God gives us his presence. Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when you think about the life of Jesus's ministry, right? All he gives to people is his presence. Jesus coming into the world was God coming and saying, I want to be present with my people. He walked with people. He walked with the disciples and taught them and encouraged them and helped them along the way. He sat with people at meals and tables and places of conversation. He sat with them. He ate with people. In Luke 19, we see that he invites himself, but he goes to Zacchaeus' home and he sits and he eats with him. He listened to people. He listened in John 4 to the woman at the well. He touched people in meaningful ways. We look in Matthew 8 and we think of Peter's family who needed healing. Jesus reached out and touched and healed them. Jesus cried with people. John 11:35, and he wept with Martha over the loss of Lazarus. Even knowing that he was going to bring him back, he sat in the moment where they were and he wept with them. And he celebrated too. We know of him turning the water into wine at the wedding, but he was there to celebrate those joyous occasions. And he was present with everyone by saying, come and follow me. You see, if we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus to families, we have to show up. And sometimes it's one of the greatest things we can do is just simply to show up. And it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. It doesn't mean that you have to have the magical thing to say. It's just simply about being a presence and showing them that they matter. Whether you show up at a game, a school event, whether you show up in children's ministry, youth ministry, whether you're the person that the parent can vent and talk to about the challenging times and things that they have, whether you show up when a student is struggling, not just when they're doing well, showing up when they succeed, show up when they fail, show up even when you don't have the words to say, show up even when you have no idea what to do in that circumstance. Presence communicates and tells people that you are not alone. Presence is the tangible thing you can do. Most of what I've asked or encouraged and kind of challenged us to do today doesn't require a whole lot of financial or anything like that. It's simply the tools we already have that God gives us first. But presence will require a little bit of sacrifice to show our students that they matter. So whether you come and play games at youth ministry or go bowling with our youth, whether you come at children's ministry, not to lead a group or do anything, but simply to have fun with our kids, whether you find out that someone plays a sport and you come to that sporting opportunity, not saying you have to be there at every single one, but can we show up in places that are important for our kids? And it comes back to scripture tells us that you know, God walks alongside of us and helps us to carry our burdens. He doesn't give us anything that's too overwhelming for us to carry. And it comes back to the backpack. The backpack is filled with more than just school supplies. And I'm not saying that we have to carry the burden for our students fully, because we can't do that, right? We can't solve every problem. We can't prevent every disappointment, right? We can't make every decision for them. We can't take the obstacles out of their path. We can't protect them from everything. But we can pray for them. We can encourage and we can show up and we can remind them that they're not alone in those hard times. And it isn't just about the student as well, church. It's about the family as well. So we want to make sure that we're praying for our parents and encouraging our parents. This isn't a message to the parents of the students telling them do more. This is a message to the church saying, church, let's support our families. So instead of saying, I'm praying for you this school year, ask the question, how can you help? Let's not be a church that might be critical of where a parent is sitting or whether or not they might be able to show up here. Let's be a church that comes alongside and prays and encourages and finds ways to help, whether it's offering a meal or whether it's just offering a voice to listen to or an ear to listen. Let's help find ways that we can carry the load for our families. It's not just a parent's job and responsibility. When we dedicate babies in church, what do we say? We talk about what the parents' responsibilities are. We talk about what the extended family's responsibilities are. And then there's a charge to the church, right? So if we go back to Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you. God knows you. God has a purpose for you, and God has a future for you. And so the question I have is church, what if God's plan includes us as a church praying for our teachers? What if God's plan encourages is for us to encourage our students by showing up to things like